All right, welcome to episode one, take two,
yeah.
of our Spill the Milk podcast. This is Rachel and Jocelyn.
And we're going to talk to you today about the 2% that feeds the 100, hence 2% milk. We're going to spill the milk, if you will, on what it's like to be part of that 2%, what that 2% looks like, and who is the 2%, Rachel?
Right, right. And I think that that's a very... it's like an onion. There's a lot of layers to it, if you will. And there's a lot of things that could be said. To me, I think it comes down to the agricultural producers, the 2%. Those are the men and women, the people who are producing food and fiber for the average consumer and for the citizens of the world. It doesn't come down to one country. It comes down to one planet. And I think that highlighting the fibrous part of that is important. I think that we sometimes forget that agriculture is more than just crops and livestock. It's producing paper. It's producing clothing. It's allowing for materials to be produced in order to create homes. There's a lot of things that pertain to production agriculture. And with our growing population, I think it's been estimated that producers are going to have to work with half as much land. In 2050, but twice as many people. But the number of people that are directly related to agriculture will remain to be 2%.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting to think of the fact that those who work in a space that produces that food, fiber, fuel is 2%, and yet 100% of people rely on agriculture because you eat, you wear clothes, you live in houses. Whatever you do, you will be impacted by agriculture. And a lot of people, you know, agriculture is this big word that people toss around. They're like, I don't really know what that means. But really, we're talking about the farmer. In any kind of in case scenario, a farmer doesn't necessarily just have to be a crop specialist or a cattle farmer. I mean, I would even consider like a logger, a farmer of some sense, because they steward growth. And they steward some form of life, and they steward some form of product that's created. And farming statistically is in the top five, like most dangerous job in the world, I believe.
I think we could talk all day long about the hardships, especially in terms of safety. There are different, I mean, even here at Missouri State, we have a farm safety day. Grain bin accidents are a really real and really tragic thing. Being cautious of what type of clothing you're wearing to, there's a lot of spinning things. There's a lot of moving parts to all sorts of equipment that we use in a working farm production setting. I remember when I was, or even before I was born, but I remember my dad talking about it. My uncle got his pant leg caught in a post hole driver that was operated by an auger on a tractor. And it ended up twisting his leg around it so tightly that the PTO shut down. And he had to crawl a mile and a half just to get... That was before phones, you know.
Right.
And so to get help. And so that was... I mean, that's a really real thing. And those things happen in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. My great-grandfather was actually killed in a farming accident. Mm-hmm. And... You know, that sounded really gruesome, like that escalated really quickly.
Right.
But life kind of does when you grow up in a space where, you know, my mom would always be like, pay attention or you will die.
No, it's a very real thing that people don't, I don't want to say value, but they simply don't know because they have not been connected to it like we have.
Well, and, you know, we were discussing earlier that like 100 years ago, agriculture was just an everyday part of life. I was... talking to Rachel that, you know, in my fifth grade classroom, we were talking about how people would go into the local, like, general store mercantile, like Walmart, and trade a chicken for some fabric because that's just, you had your niche market. And now we're so far away from that. I mean, I remember my mom growing up, she'd be like, girl, it's dinner time. Go get some potatoes, you know? Go dig up some potatoes. I'm like, all right. But when we look at how far we've come away from agriculture... we realize that those people that, I mean, break their backs to keep us healthy and fed and clothed and housed are not getting the advocacy nor the appreciation that they deserve. Which I think is funny. You know, we say spill the milk because nobody seems to know where their things come from. And I think that's kind of sad.
Yeah. I spent my spring break in Washington, D.C. and had the opportunity to visit Mount Vernon, which is this what they call George Washington's plantation. And everything on that facility has been restored. That's bare bones. Wow. Exactly how it would have looked because it was his property. It's not been moved. It's been renovated, obviously, because it's a 1700s home. But to see that how their operation worked, to see the stables that they would have used for their horses, to see how they kept their sheep, to see how they just operated, like their kitchen, we were talking, was not a part of their home. It was a separate building. They had a separate facility where they would use a stove, where they would use a bread oven. They had a cellar that was just a hole in the ground. They had dug out a hole so that the soil would keep produce fresh. And I just stood there in awe to see how connected and intimate these people were with their food. Even growing up on a farm, I knew that cow equals steak, pig equals pork chop, chicken equals egg, but I didn't have the opportunity to watch everything from potatoes to okra to beans. Everything that we ate was not coming out of the ground on our property. There were some things that we still had to purchase.
Well, and I think that that's also an interesting thought process when we're looking at the grocery store, because because of modern agriculture, I'm able to eat pineapple whenever I want. But at the same time, I'm not near as connected with that food. And I don't know necessarily, you know, there's a lot of questions. I feel like a lot of people have questions about their food, but they don't want to actually ask the producer. They kind of want to speculate based on labels that are on the thing.
But when you think about it, if you live on Battlefield, just here in Springfield in an apartment complex, you have grocery, you have medical, you have clothing, you have everything that one could ever need right here on the same road. And so the only way that you gain information is from media. Who does the most promotion on media? Not farmers.
Not farmers.
and labels on your food.
I mean, what? Why would you ask questions? If you're getting fed, if you're clothed, you know, if you're happy and content, why do you ask questions? And so I think we kind of started this podcast to challenge y'all to ask those questions, get curious. What's in your food? What's in your clothing? Because a lot of sweaters, it's not wool anymore. It's not cotton. It's like plastic. It's literal petroleum and oil, which I'm all for, you know, our fuel industry. But, you know, I didn't even know that. And I'm a person that, like, grew up with sheep. Like, I know the wool thing. And I was like, what? I'm wearing petroleum? Like, where's the Wesson? So, yeah, just continue to be curious and ask us questions. And ask around, find your local 2%. Because the 2%, as much as we are small, we are mighty and we are all around you.
And and probably some of the most passionate people that you'll meet. I'm not going to speak for all, obviously, and I'm not, you know, actively pursuing all industries, so it's not that I can say that the agriculturalists are more passionate than other industries, but I do say, and I will contest from my own experiences, and that this is a deeply rooted and generational passion. This isn't something that all of us, certainly speaking for myself, I didn't wake up one day and decide that I loved cows. It's been something that we discuss every Sunday at lunch.
Sometimes it's one of our, like, you know, first words is, you know, the big thing about the agriculture industry is I think a lot of people think that, well, it's not on TikTok, it's not on Instagram, it's not trending. And the thing is because it's not a trend, it's our lives. It's a legacy, it's a lifestyle. It doesn't get to be copied and pasted, and you know, you can't just put a dance to it and make people understand that lifestyle. So, yeah, continue to ask questions and find something that interests you in the field of agriculture and research it.
That's really how this podcast was born, is that Joss and I are very curious people. I just like to know things and I like to speak about things. But most importantly, Jocelyn and I really just like to answer questions, because agriculture is our greatest pursuit. So being able to share that with you is honestly just the ultimate privilege.
Yeah. So thank you guys for being here and letting us spill some milk with you. And tune in next time on the 2%.
Yeah. See you later, guys.